listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the show today. LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. And you know, I've got a really a little bit controversial, or at least for some people, it's going to be very controversial and make some people mad today. But that's okay, because I think it's a warning that needs to be delivered. This show, why am I doing this? This is our third year, 23, 24, 25, and working on creating your ultimate life. And every one of the clients that I work with, that is the focus. How do they create, what do they define as that ultimate life? Joy, purpose, prosperity, excitement, money, time, freedom, health, wealth, whatever the words are that you use. And, you know, the common thread is we never seem to have enough of it. Well, I need more something. I need more money. I need more time. I need more freedom. I need more peace. And what that tells me is most people don't even really know, right? Because if I say, well, what would more money allow you to do? Well, the answer is usually, well, then I wouldn't have to go to work. And it doesn't really talk about the true fulfillment of purpose. Like I was just on a phone with a client just a little while ago today, and he's getting ready to do a concert. And I can't, it's a mix of speaking and singing. Called a performance keynote, and he's a really good speaker already. He teaches speaking, and he's a Hollywood A-list vocal coach. He's putting those together and doing something to talk about that. And what's important is the theme. The theme is this, that until you choose to be free of external constraints and live the life you want to live, fully expressing your gifts and talents, that you're never truly going to be happy. And that stands to reason, because as long as we're living someone else's script of life, we're always going to be chafing against that. So when you think about ultimate life, I want you to think for you, what would that represent? Now, if I say those words to some people, they're going to think, screw everybody, I just get to go do whatever I want, whenever I want. Nobody can get in the way, and nobody tells me no. Not actually talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of purpose, prosperity, and joy that's driven by your heart. It's driven by the true divine nature of your being, not as a reactive or rebellious response to injustice you've suffered or bad things that somebody else has done or revenge or retribution that you need. I'm not talking about any of that crap. I'm talking about the soul level deep yearning that you have as a person to express yourself fully and freely and to do good with that expression. Like, you know, you can stand on a corner and jump up and down and be weird, and that might entertain a few people for a few minutes. But for the most part, that's not going to add good to the world in a way that lets you make a living and feel fully expressed and using the gifts and talents that you have. So when I talk about your ultimate life, I want to be clear about what that is, and then I'm going to launch into my controversial stuff for today, the thing I think is going to shake some people up, maybe piss some people off, which is fine. Your ultimate life. I don't know what your definition is. My definition is living every day, every hour, every minute of my life with purpose, creating prosperity for me and those around me, and in the process, experiencing unbounded joy. Purpose, my purpose this year is to reach 300 million people with the message of your own ability to live in purpose, prosperity, and joy, to get people out of the swamp or the quicksand of learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, and victim mindset to the joyful pot of gold, if you think about over the rainbow, of fierce life ownership, knowing for sure you control your life, you create it. You create it by how you choose to experience it. And a silly, simple example will suffice. Some people hate the rain. Some people dance in it. Same rain, same water, same temperature. It is the choice of how to experience the things around you that determine the truth to creating your life. Like you're creating misery or you're creating joy by how you choose to experience things. And that's experience things. And that's true even when stuff you don't want or thought you didn't want happens. People say, well, that's good for you to say, Kellen, as long as things are going well, you're okay. But what about when you get sick? Or what about when you lose your job? Or what about you can choose joy in those times, too. And you can argue with me and continue to live in misery and arguing with that. Or you can figure out that it's true and then start taking the reins, sovereignty, and controlling your own life. Today, I want to talk about something near and dear to my heart that is in that frame of creating purpose, prosperity, and joy. I'm a coach. What the hell is a coach? Well, if you think about a sports coach, like everybody knows the NFL, or the NHL, National Hockey League, finals, between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers start tomorrow, June 4th. And it starts here in Edmonton. Hey, my home team is in the finals. They were in the finals last year, and guess who they played? The Florida Panthers. This is the third year in a row the Panthers have been in the finals, and the second year for Edmonton. Last year, Edmonton lost in 7 games. This year, we're going to win in 6. How do I know? I just think I know. Anyway, and everybody who's in the NHL or has something to do with it, they know who the coach is of the Edmonton Oilers. They talk about that coach, Chris Knobloch. He sits on where he sits, how he stands, what he looks like, what he says, what he doesn't say, how effective he is, et cetera, et cetera. You think about legendary coaches in sports. We'll just talk for sports for a minute. You know their names, right? They're legends. And they didn't win games by playing. Maybe they were a player earlier, but being a great player has nothing to do with being a coach. Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player, was a terrible coach. He was coached for a while and didn't do well. His teams didn't do well. He did not know how to translate his intimate and beautiful and the greatest, they call him, of hockey playing into coaching. So coaching is this skill that is part spiritual and part physical, part emotional, to help people access levels of performance they didn't think they had. To help, we're talking athletics here for a moment, and we'll apply it to life in a minute. But coaching is this weird activity where you take it upon yourself and you develop the skill to be in the encouragement business. You know how to speak, to listen, to hold space, to create the power that allows your athletes, as it were, to do things they couldn't do yesterday or the day before, to rise to new levels, to hit new heights, to set records. That's what coaching is. Now, obviously, the athlete's got to do the work and do the workouts and go and go and go and do that. But the coaching role is critical. Now, coaching has exploded in the last 20 years. Especially the last 10 or 15, and not so much sports. I mean, sports coaching was always there. You have performance coaching, vocal coaching, you have acting coaches, you have all those. Those have been around forever. So the thing that's exploded is this thing called life coaching. Now, the analogy is easy. You hire a sports coach when you want to get good at a particular sport. Or a vocal coach. I work with a vocal coach because I want to sing better, more powerfully, with more meaning and, intent and communication and, resonance and all that stuff. Life coaching, the idea is someone who is able, because they have developed that coaching skill, to help you see things you're not seeing, find blind spots, change the way you view things, like the rain. Is it really horrible or is it really fun to go dance in? Like that's a point of view. What if you knew and you had access to your point of view all the time? What if you really knew you could do that? You could change your point of view, how you interpret something. Well, you can. And that's one of the little aspects of coaching. Another piece for both sports coaching and life coaching, as it were, or business coaching is exactly the same. People try to pretend that's different, and it's not. It is the It is the ability of the coach to help the client access ideas, thoughts, courage, points of view that they didn't have before and therefore achieve results they couldn't have before. Sales coaching, the fear of cold calling, the fear of rejection. You know, business leadership, when you have a business, fear of delegation, fear of somebody not doing it right. All those kinds of things are the majority of the problem. Success is at least 80% mindset and only 20% strategy and mechanics. Think about that. 80% mindset and 20% strategy and mechanics. Now, life coaching has exploded and, you know, everybody having their life coach and all that stuff is kind of cool. And the downside of that is that everybody and their dog can hang out a shingle and say, I'm a life coach. And how do you know? Right? There's no official thing. There's one organization that pretends they're the best certification, and their coaching pretty soon is going to be extinct. So that certification is going to be useless anyway, and that's part of the topic of today. But here's the thing to think about. Just because everybody and their dog says they're a life coach and it's not true and they're crappy at it doesn't mean that good life or business coaching, mindset coaching, getting past fears, you know, all of the different ways that's described, overcoming fears, barriers, blocks, all that crap. It's all true, all needed. And when I use the word crap, it's not doesn't mean it's not important stuff, all that stuff. It's real, it's powerful, and it's needed. And most coaches aren't really very good at it. And that's going to make a lot of people who pretend they're coaches really mad at me right now. But most of them aren't very good at it. And you know how I know? Because they have not done it for themselves. I cannot tell you how many coaches I talk to. And some of my clients, a few of my clients are coaches. Most of them are not. I do mostly entrepreneurs and business owners and stuff. But I have a few entrepreneurs that are also coaches. And that's their business. Most potential clients that I talk to say to me they help people get past their barriers and blocks and step into their power and their greatness. And yet our entire conversation is this person being buried by their barriers and blocks and fears. In other words, they have not drunk their own Kool-Aid. They are not a product of the product. They haven't mastered the skills they're trying to coach. And I want you to think about how phony that is. One of the big things that coaches, wannabe coaches, talk about is the imposter syndrome. Well, no wonder. If you have not mastered your own fears, barriers, and blocks, and yet you're running around trying to help others, then that is an imposter, and therefore you have the imposter syndrome. Yeah, no surprise. And no amount of coaching is going to get past the imposter syndrome. What's going to get past the imposter syndrome is drink your Kool-Aid, apply the method, get a coach so that you can be way further along, at least. I mean, nobody's perfect, and growth is a mountain without a top in sports, in life, in music, in performance, in everything, right? But what happens is if you're not way ahead and still growing, a coach without a coach is a fraud because you're not still intentionally engaged in the growth process. Now, what that coach looks like, there's all kinds of different containers and ways that it can work. But if you as a coach are not fully and freely and continuously engaged in the growth process, then you're not going to last very long as a coach. So those are just true boundaries, and why most life coaches or success coaches or performance coaches, which are all fancy names for the same thing, executive coaches, all of those people, for the most part, do not live what they preach. I can't tell you how many people who are coaches, who are not making a good living at it, and are struggling with their own beliefs, say, I want to coach CEOs and executives. And the reason they say that is because they have the story. Well, those people have a lot of money and they can pay me. And the only people that I seem to be attracting right now are broke people that can't pay me. Therefore, I can't fill my practice. Therefore, I can't give my gift to the world. And the real truth is they don't have the courage or the presence or the power or the personal development to coach people at a high level. And so they're never going to get clients that are in the category they say they want. They don't have the experience or the personal power to do the work necessary there. Now, that is simply a sad truth. That is a fact about the coaching industry that's been true for the last 10 or 15 years. There are those who are great coaches. Don't get me wrong. And I know the transition because I used to feel that terrifying fear of imposter and everything else. And it was for the very reason I'm talking to you about. I hadn't mastered the skills I was trying to coach. I had not mastered those. And that is all just set up to what I really want to talk about today. What I really want to talk about today is now a new disruptor has come. A new massive change force has come, and that is artificial intelligence. Gemini, Claude, ChatGPT, and 27 other names. ChatGPT, or the rise of AI, is going to completely change the coaching industry, 100%. And it's going to destroy most of it. And all of the coaches that I've just talked about who are using checklists and systems and those kinds of things, you're going to be out of business in 12 to 18, 24 months outside. 18 to 24 months, you're going to be out of business. You won't be able to get clients. And the reason's really simple. Because artificial intelligence can do everything faster, cheaper, on point, with a broader experience base. You know, the internet democratized, as it were, information. Information became free. You now knew and could find out how to do anything. AI has now democratized expertise. The sifting of all the information, curating the information, making it available and powerful. AI has done that. And if you don't understand and begin to work with it, not a little, but furiously, you're going to be out of work. There's already some studies out that I have seen, talked about, where people would rather get therapy advice or advice from AI than a person. And I can make up reasons about why. There's no fear of judgment. The AI doesn't judge you. It doesn't say, oh, how dare you? You should have done this or that, or create that emotional feeling. And it might say the same words, and it might say them even better or more effectively than a shrink might. So I'm not saying that's definitive for everybody and so forth. And I don't think AI is going to destroy therapy, and I don't think it's going to destroy coaching. But it's going to shake it up badly or bigly, huge, in a massive way. And it's going to put a ton of people out of business, just like it is in many other areas. Everything that can be automated will be, and all the people that are doing those automated jobs are going to be out of business. That is not a bad thing. That is a good thing. And it's also a good thing in the coaching realm. So now that I've painted this picture of doom and gloom, you can do a couple of things. You can argue with me and you can say I'm full of crap and bury your head in the sand, and you're free to do that. Or you can listen to the rest of this and figure out what needs to happen to the few that are going to remain. I'm suggesting at least 90% and maybe 95% of coaches that are coaching at the level they do now are going to be gone, because AI will be able to gather, to listen to you. You'll be able to talk, tell it what you're worried about, what the barriers are, and it'll be able to listen and even respond empathetically and with powerful and good advice gathered across multitudes of systems that are way beyond what you're trained in and give great advice. And so if that is, you know, tips, tricks, hacks, advice, lists, systems, check sheets, gone, 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 gone. All the systems, and I could give you a bunch of names, but I don't want to. You're going to be out of business. And the reason is because AI is faster and better, and the expertise is deeper. And it's getting better every 5 minutes. You know that. I was in the middle of using ChatGPT the other day for some research, and it interrupted me and said, okay, a new version has landed. Hang on a sec. Right in the middle of my thing, right? Okay. And I didn't lose anything. It was all there, continuity and perfect. But it was just, you know, here's another new iteration of this stuff. It can even simulate powerful, emotional, empathetic language. So what's the hope? What is there to do? The fire is here. Are you going to rise or vanish? That's the question. Coaching an AI, the fire is here. Are you going to rise or vanish? So the elephant in the room is AI is here. Coaching has gotten soggy, repeatable, methodical, and just duplicable, artificial intelligenceable. And the explosion of coaches hasn't helped. Everybody with a Canva logo and a launch plan. Everybody says they're a coach, and very few are actually being them, because the essence of coaching isn't information, suggestions, ideas. Have you considered this? What about that? You know, twisting language around like NLP toward and away and generalizing and all the things that everybody that's been trained in NLP, including me, recognize. All of the kinds of coaching have vulnerability here. The ICF, Federation that approves coaches, they're highly vulnerable, extremely vulnerable, non-directional. You know, the client has all the wisdom. You're finished. And every other kind. NLP, I could go on. I'm not going to list a bunch of more. I did research on at least a dozen different named methodologies, and the conclusion is the same. Some more, some less. And so, but that's not bad news, because that means the low-level stuff, advice, checklists, great questions. When I started coaching about 15, 16 years ago, you know, ooh, the great thing of a great coach is the ability to ask great questions. No, it's not. That used to be. But with the democratization and rise of absolute expertise available deep and powerfully and immediately, is going to remove the value of all those things. They won't be valuable anymore, because you can have them for free or for $20 a month. So coaches that charge $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 a month right now for any service that even remotely resembles that, you're finished. So the question is what to do about it. Because journaling prompts and rituals and niche hacks, most of it's garbage. There's some gold, but there's a ton of fluff. A ton of fluff. I can't tell you how many prospects and then clients I've had that say, well, I tried this and this, and they give me a list of all the things, and I say, well, what happened? And they tell me all the techniques, tools, hacks, tricks, lists, etc., that they got given, and they were fluff anyway, but in the age of AI, that's not even useful, because it's all available for free and in better form and better formatted than anything you've got anyway. So what do you do? What do we do? Well, first of all, we have to tell the truth. The truth is, we built an industry on feel-good frameworks, and we forgot the fire. Real change in a person. Transformation, the cute buzzword of the coaching industry, happens in fire. Maybe it's silent fire, maybe it's quiet fire, but it is intense, and it is real, and it is hot enough to melt the metal. If you don't have that element, you're finished. So what happens now? What do we do now? Well, one of the things we've got that's essentially, and when I said tell the truth, here it is, the smoke and mirrors. If you're trying to be a coach when your own life is in shambles, you're a fraud. You can give advice, but all you're doing is making suggestions that Chatty can do better for you. If you are not a product of the product, that's like going to a nutritionist and they're wildly overweight, smoking, and not healthy, and they're peddling, you know, some protein shakes as a way to get in shape. The stuff they're giving you might be good, but it doesn't carry the ring of authenticity, because it's like, so what? So what? If it's so good, how come, you know, the obvious question. Or a doctor that's obviously unhealthy giving you lifestyle advice. It doesn't sink in. It doesn't land, because the authenticity is zero. More than anything in the world today, We crave authenticity, realness, real connection, the truth. Get rid of the smoke and the mirrors, the real deal. With the advent of smartphones and friends standing next to each other texting instead of talking, we've become isolated, we've become disconnected. And so what we crave more than anything is connection. AI can write, but it cannot bleed. Oh, it can mimic emotional language. Don't get me wrong. And I'm saying this from a place of using it every single day and using it extensively. I spent 50 hours in the last several days researching this very topic, using AI and exploring the strengths, weaknesses, vulnerabilities, systems, and methods of at least 12 different coaching methodologies and approaches. And that's why I'm so passionate about this. The AI isn't coming. It's here already. It's already obliterating the need for the big chunk, the bulk, the largest part of what coaches do today. That's scary. You can't lead people out of a pit that you won't crawl out of. Hence the phrase, a coach without a coach is a fraud. So Your Ultimate Life, which is about what this is about, I still love coaching. I'm going to stay one and be one. And I'm going to describe in the last half of this what needs to change. And those who won't change are going to disappear. Because as smart as it is, there are things that artificial intelligence cannot do and will not be able to do for the foreseeable future. Now, I recognize in science fiction, there have been robots and other things created that mimic human empathy and discussion and conversation and emotion and connection better than humans, possibly. But I saw a thing that Simon Sinek talked about the other day, and I loved that too. And that was, I don't care if you go to ChatGPT and get a perfect answer. And it's written perfectly, and it's written powerfully, and it's wonderful. It doesn't do you any good because you miss the work. You miss the becoming that happens when you do that yourself. That's not an indictment of the tool, and it's not saying don't use it. I use it all the time. 50 hours of preparation, exploring the fear, not the fear, the thing that occurred to me that this monstrous transformation was happening. Broke healers preaching abundance. I can't tell you how many of those I've talked to. And I use the word broke healers lovingly because I love them and their passion is real and they're broke and they're preaching manifestation and law of attraction and abundance and everything else and they can't manage anything. So either they're lying or they're not applying. And that is the key difference because the artificial intelligence that's getting smarter every 5 minutes is not only able to research, regurgitate, organize, write powerfully, and even write empathetic language that evokes emotion, it can do it faster and better than you or I ever can. So we can't compete there. But that isn't the place where real coaching takes place. I want you to think about the legends in coaching. Let's go back to sports. When you think of Phil Jackson or John Wooden or the Navy SEAL instructor who knows pain, the shaman, the sensei, the one who sees what you can't yet see, the one that lives in the place you aspire to. Yeah, I can't do that. And it'll tell you it can't. All you have to do is ask. I did. Over and over and over again, 27 ways to Sunday. And it said, I can do all these things and do them really well. But I cannot, I do not bleed. I do not feel. I cannot create feeling. I cannot embody fire and transformation and insight. I can give beautifully written words that might spark ideas. But it is not going to create the fire of change. You've seen the examples. Everybody has seen the one or two, maybe there are more videos of an Olympic event where there were a group of women runners who were running and one of them tripped and fell and, of course, was then immediately in last place. And rather than stay there, She got up and finished the race and, in fact, won. So she went from complete behind to one against competitors that just shouldn't have happened. So what is that? What is that? That is the intangible magic, the power of pure being, of determination, of fierce ownership. When I said going from learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, victim mindset, over to fierce life ownership, radical excellence, and passion for service, somewhere, somehow, that particular woman found it. Found another gear, found another passion, scraped and whatever. One. So that is where you got to go. And that's why I say only the top 5% will survive, because the number of people that are willing to work on themselves at that level, 1 in 20, 5%. Now, I've known that number for a long time. I talk to tons of people every week, brand new people, between 5 and 10 new people I've never met every week in conversation. Why? Because it's I love, one, I love people, and two, I love to getting to know them and seeing what I can do to help, and maybe there's something I can do, and maybe there's not. But I need, you know, guests for this show, for my podcast, possible clients, people to help write books, all those things that I love doing. So I make it my business to talk to a lot of people. And 19 out of 20 are not ready to do the work it takes to get to that gear, to get to that place, to get to the podium they keep saying with their mouth they want to get. The courage and power that it takes to cause that change is the purview of humanity, period, end. AI cannot feel the spirit. It cannot create that deep, meaningful connection that only happens when you sit in silence and power with another person when they have been seen. What it can do, it's the great equalizer. AI can do your templates, write your emails, generate your journal prompts, empathy simulation, check, voice cloning, already done. Check out 11 Labs. And you should be using it. I'm thinking about trying 11 Labs out to narrate my books. I haven't got audiobooks out of my stuff yet. And people keep getting on me. Why not? Why not? Why not? Because I've been blessed with a powerful voice. I read a section of a book to one of my coaching groups the other day. And, you know, the reaction was powerful. And they said, you know, we need to hear your voice in this. Would you read your book and all that other stuff? And my answer is the same. Yeah, I'll get to it. So the smoke and mirrors will die. There's nothing we can do to save it. And it shouldn't be. If you can't, you know, physician, heal thyself. You cannot coach people out of a pit you won't get out of. So here's the keys. If you're not getting coached, you're not going to be a good coach. Now, what that coaching looks like is up to you, but it has to be a place that challenges you mightily, is fully accountability driven, and calls forth in you that power that cannot be duplicated. If you're not doing that, you're finished. Okay? Everything that made you look like a good coach. Cool questions and checklists and prompts and all that stuff can be done better and faster and sharper by a bot. So let's not be afraid of it. Let's decide for ourselves what's left when the show's gone. Because all the smoke and mirrors and all the showy stuff is going to disappear. So if AI takes all the formulas and the jargon and the exclusivity and all that stuff that you thought you had, what's left? I want you to sit on that question. What is left? The answer is you. And that truth has terrified coaches forever. The vulnerability, imposter syndrome, all of that feeling has trashed their hearts forever because they're not willing to crawl out of the pit. You are left. Your own scars, your presence, your frequency, your vibration, the truth of your being. You can't code that stuff. That's what's going to make the difference. That's going to be what real coaching is. And it's what it's always been in the areas where it started. I mean, it started in sports and performance, spiritual guides, warriors, athletes, all that kind of stuff. I mentioned some names, Phil Jackson, John Wooden, instructors of special forces, those kind of people. My martial arts instructor, senseis, I had one of those. Quiet, unassuming, nothing. And his presence, he was 4 inches shorter than me. He didn't look grumpy, he didn't look mean, and he commanded absolute presence. You knew where you were standing. Okay, that can't be faked, it can't be cloned, and that's all that's left. So then the question for you and me is, are we willing to fully embody the transformation we're selling? Because if I can't stand next to you and feel the energy of the truth of the transformation you promise, you're finished. And so am I. So the work in the question is, I look at myself and I say, what do I need to do? Who do I need to be? So that every moment of my existence, not just when I'm coaching, but the truth of my being is the embodiment of what I say I believe and want, what I'm coaching. Is it my life? Is it true? Because that feeling can't be faked. That feeling cannot be duplicated or coded. It can be sensed, and you and I know when it's real and when it's not. And that ability to stand with someone, sometimes with words and sometimes with pure being, that's the difference, and that's all that's going to be left. And so when I say 95% are going to be gone, the truth is it's embodiment or extinction. You got to be willing to be the thing you preach or you're gone. If you have not walked through the fire of transformation, you've got no business trying to light it in somebody else. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be an expert in the business. And that's because 80% of all this work is in the mind. And we know that. But what we've done in the coaching industry is we've pretended that we have that. And we say, well, I don't need to be a millionaire to know how to coach you to be a millionaire. Okay, let's test that. Because in order to be a millionaire, since 80% or a billionaire or any other heir, 80% of that work is mindset. 20% is strategy and execution. And that's true over and over again. You can test that anywhere. It is mindset, the belief, the discovery of that truth. That the strategy and execution is available to getting rich. Books, Think and Grow Rich, and Science of Getting Wealthy, Wallace Wattles, and dozens of Science of Creating Miracles, and some books that I've written, Living with Purpose and Power, all those, the strategies and processes are well-known, written, and documented. The thing that people don't have is the 80%, which is the truth in the head. Now, if you don't have that mindset mastered, you can't help somebody there. Whether you've chosen to take that mastery and create wealth with it, okay, I might ask why not, because when you create that wealth, it allows you, I know it because I'm doing it, it allows me bigger reach, it allows me to help more people, it allows me to do the 300 million I'm reaching this year. So you can't, you can, and you can argue with me if you want, but you can't help somebody where you haven't mastered that mindset. Telling somebody about what they need to do is like telling somebody how to climb Mount Everest when you haven't climbed anything. Telling someone how to have perseverance and get through grief when you've never been through horrible loss. You can't do it. You have to own the scars. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but you have to have done the mindset work and be there now. Not one time somewhere in the past you overcame some hardship and that makes you a life coach. If you're not visibly and powerfully and at this moment a product of the product you're trying to preach, forget it. And everything below that, AI will capture and eliminate you on. So here's the question for you. This is not a discouraging thing. It's actually an encouraging thing. And here's why. Because it calls forth in you and me the truth of what coaching was always supposed to be. The powerful embodiment of the energy required to get someone to do something beyond their capability. And that means that beyond their capability. They've got to do the physical work. But the physical work alone is not enough. Another example, when I was getting ready to take my second degree black belt test in one of the styles I have black belts in, 2 days long, hardest physical thing I've ever done. I've never done, 5 days and that kind of thing, like special forces training. So this 2-day test was the most demanding physical thing I've ever done. Yet the ultimate test was mental. Because there's a bunch of written testing you had to do to prove you knew a bunch of stuff. And then it was brutal physical testing for hours and hours and hours. And then it was sparring. After you were completely worn out and wanted to fall down and die, then you had to spar and defend yourself. And then last of all was breaking demonstrations, boards and bricks and that kind of stuff. And boards and bricks and that kind of breaking is 80% mental, like everything is. And here's the proof in the pudding. When you go to do a difficult break, if you fail, if you quit and don't hit it, you're not going to be hurt. If you try and you fail, you're going to break bones. The final break, I had an 8-station breaking sort of dance set up with 1 board, 2 boards, 3 boards, 5 boards, hanging boards, people, sidekick, all that kind of stuff you see, all that. You set them all up, and then you have like 10 seconds to go through the dance and break everything. Well, my final break was 5 cinder block tops. You know, those cinder block tops that are about 1.5 inches thick and 10 inches wide or so, 12 inches wide, I don't know. 5 of them. Well, I can tell you right now that if you hit that and you don't break it, you're going to shatter every bone in your arm all the way up to your shoulder. And so that becomes a mental game. Are you willing? I did. I was successful. And it was funny because someone was there taking pictures for me. None of the pictures mattered at all except that final break. That picture was perfect. It just looked like a movie poster. That's great. It was the final deal, so it was the only picture. That was cool. But it occurred to me at the afterwards how much that depended on the mind. Well, coaching is exactly the same. You have to become. I do too. I'm talking to me. We have to be the transformation we sell, or we're going to get replaced by a convincing digital version. More than ever today, people smell phony, pretense, puffery. It's just not going to cut it. So if you love coaching, if you love that being in the people encouragement business, I do. I love it. There's nothing more fulfilling or fun than being in the business of helping people achieve dreams they thought they couldn't. Achieve successes they thought were beyond their reach. Overcome fears and barriers they thought were going to bury them forever. Achieve levels of income they could not have imagined. Create successes they only dreamed about. Get promotions, get jobs, get companions. Whatever it is, if that is your jam, I'm not trying to talk you out of that. What I'm doing is waving the flag and sounding the alarm that you have got to be what you preach. You have got to embody the truth of the energy you're trying to create in the other person. It has to be on full display every moment. The transmission of power, use woo-woo words, the frequency, whatever it is. Because otherwise you're going to fail. It won't create the change or the opportunity for change. You have to be. The cliche is the product of the product. You have to do it. Or you have to get some other line of work. AI's evolution is exponential. You know, if we're still talking about brand voice and stuff that was in vogue even a year or two ago, the algorithm's already passed you. We're done. You're finished. All of that stuff is has been. It's over. We at this moment are in a refining fire, and it's going to burn away all pretense. It's going to burn away all doubt. It's going to burn away all fear. It's going to burn away all imposters. It's going to burn it off like dross out of gold. And to me, that's a good thing, because it boils us all down to the essence of what it must be. It's no longer about method. It is about mirror. It is about our ability to see in ourselves and others the patterns that cause the failures. It is about our ability to create presence so powerful that even without words, the air trembles. An emotion gets expressed because people feel seen and heard. There is space. There is truth. That's what we have got to be. And if you're that sort of, you need to get to work and be 10x that in the next year. Because what I started with is my prediction is within 18, maybe 24 months, 95% of coaches will be out of business or scrambling and scrapping for crumbs. Because the AI algorithms and its ability to do all that stuff will be so much better than anything except that top level of presence, pattern recognition, and change and power. You have to have the ability to create power. Insight is beautiful. Insight combined with action and real change, that's the key. We have to be able to provide the fire, the space, the truth, the engine, and the example. And that's why I keep saying the word embodiment. If I'm standing in your presence or you in mine, and I cannot feel the truth of your being, you're not going to be an effective coach. Because it is only that truth that creates the power, only that vulnerable connection, that raw encouragement, the acknowledgement of divinity and capability. I see your pure divine nature, and I honor that in a way that lights you up. Hey, I can't do that. And in the foreseeable future, won't be able to. Hey, this thing, if your coaching doesn't cause an identity disruption in a massive way, it's just entertainment. It's not enough to inspire. You have to initiate. I say we have to initiate. This isn't about AI versus the humans. It's about performance versus presence. Performance in coaching is gone. It's dead. You can play the content game where you put up memes and videos and talk about inspiring things, or you can become the fire. That's the question. Now, here's the real truth. Are you a transmitter? When people listen to you, look at you, do they feel the power of the truth? I've said often, truth carries its own power. It needs no ornamentation. When people meet with you, listen to you, do they feel the essence of that raw truth? Or is it just a script reader following a system, a performance? Because the raw truth is the only place that's left for us. 1 in 20. The question is, are you going to choose to rise? Are you going to choose to do the work? Because if you're not already there, and 90%, 95% of coaches that I know are not, I know a few that are. I know a few that embody that purity and are not concerned about this AI business at all. I know a whole bunch that think they are that are toast. unless they change. And I know a boatload more that are terrified or oblivious. Your call right now is to decide who you are and then get busy getting the help you need to get there. I invite you to consider that choice, and I invite you to rise. The world doesn't need more coaching. It needs more real coaches that embody the truth and that fire. And if you're called, like I am, to be that, the holder of fire, the transmitter of power, the holder of pure space, the product of the product, the embodiment of the essence of transformation, then you will survive and thrive. And that will continue to be your path to live and love and create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.